with an earthquake.
Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Richard Haass, who is the president of the Council on Foreign Relations. That's a nonpartisan New York City-based public policy think tank. He served in the State Department for several years. He was an advisor to Secretary of State Colin Powell and is the author of the new book, The World, A Brief Introduction. Richard, you believe that Americans are not taught much about the world beyond America. What leads you to this conclusion?
What leads me to this conclusion, by the way, good morning and thank you for having me on, is that most high schools do not offer courses about the world, and virtually every college or university does, but virtually none of them requires that you take it, so you can graduate from Harvard or Princeton or Yale or Stanford or what have you, and navigate your course requirements and essentially leave the campus unprepared for the world that is going to shape your lives. And in part, that's what led me to write this book, was to try to fill that gap.
And it's not just young people that lack this knowledge, it's older folks as well, right?
Absolutely. You know, either they studied it when they went to school and they forgot it, or imagine, you know, like when I went to school, the world was the Cold War. That's not particularly a relevant background now. But many of us didn't go to college. A majority of Americans don't attend college, four-year colleges. And well, they're, you know, 60, 70 years old, but they still have to vote this November. Hopefully they will vote. So the question is, how do you have an informed vote? How can you weigh the positions of the various candidates for president, for Senate, for Congress, unless you have the background? How can you make decisions about investment or about business? And my feeling is, or my sense is, that a lot of people don't have the tools. They're not going to get it from the nightly news. They're not necessarily going to get it from the internet. And it's this gap between what Americans need to know to look out for their own interests and what they do know that, again, led me to produce this.
There's a lot of Americans that get up every day, go to work, come home, raise their family. It's all they can do to get those tasks done. And, you know, they don't have a lot of time to have these contemplative thoughts. So how would this book affect how they look at the world, and how would they have time to even consider these issues that you raise with all the everything else going on in their lives?
Look, I respect that, and I get it. On the other hand, whether it's a pandemic or climate change or terrorism like we saw in 9/11, these are all examples of how the world affects one's life. Or just say you're working for a company that manufactures something, and the president says he's going to propose new tariffs, and that's going to mean a trade war between the United States and various countries, and suddenly the cars you are producing, we can't sell them somewhere. So my point is simply that the world will matter in all sorts of ways. It's in your interest to take a little bit of time, because this will affect the quality of your life, your standard of living. And that's the reason I try to boil it down. I didn't write the Encyclopedia Britannica. There's not 80 volumes here. It's not War and Peace. What I try to write was something in 300 pages that essentially would give people the basics of what I thought they needed to know in order to be an informed citizen.
Well, we can't understand the world without understanding history first. And the history you include in this book, basically the modern international era starting 17th century, was this just an arbitrary start date?
It was arbitrary, but it was arbitrary with the logic. The 17th century is when the modern international system was born, when countries were formed out of kingdoms and principalities. Above all, when the idea of sovereignty was introduced, the idea that countries would be pretty much left alone to do what they wanted inside their borders. On the other hand, they wouldn't attack others every day, wouldn't interfere. And to the extent the world is at times peaceful, it's because of this principle. And here we are today, a couple of hundred years later. We have, 190-plus countries in the world. So the basics of the world are recognizable if you go back a couple of hundred years.
Have certain things come to pass in America, in the United States, that you can point to maybe in the last 10 or 20 years and say, if Americans had understood the world better, this would not have happened?
That's a great question. I would say yes. Take the pandemic we're going through now. The pandemic was predicted by experts. It was predictable. It's part of globalization. So if Americans had understood that more, hopefully then their elected representatives would have said, okay, it makes sense to invest in dealing with, preparing for this. We're not 100% sure it's going to happen. On the other hand, we buy fire insurance. We're not 100% sure that a fire is going to happen. So as an insurance policy, we are going to put in place certain types of stockpiles of protective equipment. We're going to make sure global arrangements to deal with pandemics are stronger. We're going to have research on various types of drugs and vaccines. So sure, if there had been more support for this, more awareness of this, we would be in a much better place now.
When you discuss European countries in the book, is it possible to analyze their roles in the world without viewing the European Union as a whole?
I think the answer is no. In what Europe did after World War II was essentially say, our part of the world has been wrecked twice by world wars. We don't want it to happen a third time. So what we're going to do is knit together the main countries of Europe, France, Germany, Britain, Italy, what have you, create all sorts of economic linkages. So the idea will be unthinkable. And it worked. For 70, 75 years, Europe had peace when once talking about the major powers. And there's been problems, say, around Ukraine, there was problems in Georgia, problems in the former Yugoslavia. But Europe has been a phenomenal success story. It's been mostly peaceful. It's remarkably prosperous. It's overwhelmingly democratic. And so this has been one of the great projects of any era of history.
Anybody that's even paid a little bit of attention to news over the last 4 years, since the 2016 campaign and throughout President Trump's first term, Russia has loomed large insofar as the Trump administration's dealings with that nation. What is the real risk Russia poses, not just in Europe, but to the United States?
Well, Russia's still the only country in the world which could eliminate the United States, given its nuclear inventory. We don't think about nuclear weapons much anymore, but Russia still has probably, 2,000 or so nuclear warheads. Russia is also using force in Europe. It's using force in the Middle East. Probably most immediate for Americans, though, Russia is interfering in our elections. They got involved in the 2016 elections, and they haven't stopped. My strong prediction, I have zero doubt about this, is that Russia is already interfering in our current politics and will interfere up to and through the 2020 elections. And this is something that we've got to shield ourselves from better than we are, and we've got to figure out ways of changing Russia's calculus so they lay off and respect American democracy.
It seems like as most people digest the news these days, they do it with a partisan bent. They watch their cable news channels that have a particular bend or just their own prejudices. Is that really the best way, or is that even a good way to analyze things around the world order?
Well, you're exactly right. Most people do see it through a partisan filter. I tend not to. I've worked for Democratic and Republican presidents. I now head a nonpartisan institution. Most of the facts and background in this book are just facts and background. There's nothing Republican or Democratic about it. And I understand that people are partisan, but that ought not to affect the facts or the information that they take in. Indeed, one of the things I recommend is people should spend some time watching cable networks, listening to radio, going on the internet to places that they disagree with, just to be pushed, just to be exposed to points of view. But in terms of this book, I wrote it without a partisan agenda. There's nothing in this that a Democrat or a Republican would necessarily find unacceptable, because again, I'm not trying to convert people to any point of view. What I'm trying to do is give them the tools they need to make better informed decisions.
When we think, or at least when I think about international relations, my mind immediately goes to global disorder. But have there been some positive trends that have played out worldwide since the end of the Cold War?
Yeah, since the end of the Cold War, we've seen more countries become democratic. A lot of the former Soviet Empire obviously now is democratic. We've seen standards of living go up around the world. Until recently, the global economy was growing significantly. It'll resume at some point. Longevity of life, again, was increasing around the world, temporarily interrupted, but again, it will, once this passed, will go up. So a lot of the trends, I would say, are not at all bad.
All right, he's Richard Haass. He's the president of the Council on Foreign Relations and the author of the brand new book, The World, A Brief Introduction. And let me tell you, it is brief. It was not as long as the books I was expecting, but it was every bit as good. Richard, just an amazing piece of work that you've put together here for us to learn from, and thanks for joining us today to talk about it.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, Brian.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. It's the end of-